Continuing with our study of Surah Al-Fatiha, we were on the phrase Iyyaka na'budu, and I had begun to speak about the subject of ibadah. To recap, we talked about how ibadah, ta'abbud, was something that was totally submissive without opposition or resistance, and therefore a mu'abbad, a worshipful person, is one who is at peace and obedience with no trace of rebelliousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, see, it is important to understand that if we want to make practical tawheed clear, we've got to look at the opposite. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ta'arafu al-ashya bi ajdadiha." You will understand something by looking at its opposite. So, if we look at the opposite of tawheed, it is shirk, or making partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Quran, we see various things that prevent us from becoming whole. In other words, following the path of tawheed. Let's take some examples. For example, in Surah Al-Furqan, this is Surah number 25, Ayah 43. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you not seen those who takes his desires? Have you not seen him who takes his desires as his God? And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how that a person who has worshipped his desire has become a mushrik, cannot be on the path of tawheed. Rumi says, the mother of idols is the idol of your psyche, your nafs. Those idols are snakes. That idol, a dragon. The soul is iron and stone, an idol but a spark. Such sparks are soon by water quenched. But when have iron and stone been stilled by water? A man with these two, how can he ever find peace? So when we say, Iyyaka na'budu, we are claiming we are obedient to the command of Allah, rather than also to the command of our own desires, our own appetites, our own wants and yearnings. Another form of shirk, or another form of partnership that the Quran mentions, is in Surah At-Tawbah. In the Surah number 9, if we look at Ayah 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They take their priests and their clerics as their masters. من دون الله, instead of Allah. Now, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are obedient to their priests and clerics without any authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say yaka na'budu, besides saying that we will not be obedient to the command of our own desires, we also say that we will not worship any group under the name of clergy or priesthood or whatever, and we will not be obedient blindly. It means we will obey only those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to obey, and we will obey no one without his authorization. So if we're to obey Allah's messenger, it is because he has made it wajib upon us. If we obey the a'imma or the ulil amr, it is because he has commanded us to obey them. If we obey the directives of the mujtahideen, it is because we are instructed to do so by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the a'imma, after various categories have been confirmed as per their instructions. Another category that the Quran talks about is mentioned in Surah Al Imran, Ayah 64. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ahl al-kitabi, O people of the book, lima tuhajjuna. I'm sorry, it says, Qul ya ahl al-kitab, say, O people of the book, ta'alaw ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum, alla na'abuda illa Allah, wa la nushrika bihi shay'an, wa la yattakhidha ba'duna ba'dan arbaban min dunillah. Oh, say, O people of the book, come to a word even between us and you, that we worship none save Allah, and no partners, we take no partners unto him, and that some of us will not take others as masters instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, remember, this is the ayah that was sent out by Rasulullah in the form of an invitation to the leaders of the countries of the world in the fifth or sixth year of Hijrah. That also is an embodiment of practical tawheed. So here we are told no human should be taken as a divine rub. sustainer, nourisher, cherisher. Nor should any human strive to put himself in this position with regard to another person. So the meaning of Iyyaka Na'budu here also means that we put no other as our Rabb, and that we have no social idol, and that we establish no human and no human's command as worthy of obedience in place of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find another aspect in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, which is Surah number 26. In Ayah 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَبَّطَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. And for that blessing you made me beholden, that you made the sons of Israel your worshippers. And this ayah quotes Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he spoke face to face with Fir'aun. Fir'aun had angrily asked Prophet Musa whether he was not that same man who had been raised in his own home, in Fir'aun's home, as one of his own, and who had then committed the deed of Musa killing the enemy officer. And the ayah says the reply of Prophet Musa. He says, did Fir'aun expect to render Musa to himself as having raised him, even while he was reducing the sons of Israel for them to become his worshippers? In other words, Prophet Musa was saying to him that should he say nothing in the face of the crime that Fir'aun had committed in reducing a whole people to servitude just because he had raised him? And we can see how Prophet Musa terms the oppression of Fir'aun as reducing the people to service and worship. Abatta, worship of Fir'aun. So they were not worshipping Fir'aun in the sense of doing sajda to him. Rather, Fir'aun had reduced them until they were at that abject stage. He had compelled them to his obedience, obliged them to labor, taken from them every right of choice and all freedom. So practically, if we're looking at a becoming, they were submissive to Fir'aun. They were smooth. So when we say Iyyaka Na'budu, we refuse to give ourselves to any kind of servitude or abjection or compelling obedience or exploitation, and resist anyone who takes away our right to choice and freedom. You have to be practically motivated by Tawheed, and it is this stage that we need to be able to understand. Repeat Iyyaka Na'budu again and again and again. And you know, when you get to Iyyaka Na'budu, we understand the greatness of Surah Al-Fatiha. It's so amazing. Absolutely amazing. In these very few ayat that we see theoretical Tawheed explained in the most profound way, and then in one short part sentence, Iyyaka Na'budu, practical Tawheed, is manifested so wonderfully. I'd like to end by looking at an interesting point of practical Tawheed, where we see it's Iyyaka Na'budu. The pronoun is we worship. It's a plural worship instead of A'budu. It's not I worship. And each of us is saying we worship. And here the concern is with constructing the human being. You know, just as we are constructed within the radiance of the knowledge of Allah and attention towards Him, rather than in ignorance of Him or inattention, we are constructed in deeds and activities and not merely in thought. So to become practical, to become whole, to make Tawheed practical, we've got to look at it also in the context of social activities, not in an isolation basis. So paraphrasing this ayah, it basically means, O Allah, we this society who believe in Tawheed are moving together and in unison towards you, and together we accept only your command. It's just out of this world. Inshallah, we will continue with Surah Al-Fatiha.